Okay, so yeah, what is the...
Do you want to run down what you want to this to happen? Or do you want to just get in? Love it. Love it. That's what she does to me all the time. Sometimes I just show up and she's like, we're doing this now. And I'm like,
great.
Okay.
Improv.
Right.
Well, that's why. That's exactly it. I'm like, your improv training for the week. Here you go. It's class.
I'm UCB trained. Thank you very much. Yes. Musical improv.
Oh my God.
Advanced study. Sketch 301 all the way up.
You're so gross.
Listen.
It doesn't mean anything except I've spent a lot of money on comedy classes.
Fair enough. Sipping on con time while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tenants and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the fire dies, whether June's or moon. I simply turn to my favorite thing, and they are a
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, Mom.
Hi, friends. Hi, Moms. We're so happy that you are here.
We are so happy that you're here. Are you sitting down?
Episode.
Are you sitting down for this special episode?
You guys.
You better be sitting down. All right. If you're driving, pull over on the side
of
the road.
Pull over, Mom.
Okay.
It's Tony season.
It's Tony season. Da 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 da. Tony season.
So I started. Listeners, we are recording this, of course, a couple days early. But I wanted to let you know that there's something special going on. I am doing 10 days to Tony's.
What?
Because today is June 1st.
Yeah.
So I started 10 days to Tony's, and so every day I am giving you a musical theater nerd alert.
Oh.
On our Insta story. And my personal Facebook page, but I'll put it on the Tannins page as well.
Yes.
And basically today I started out with some like fun facts about the Tonys. So do you want to hear them?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so Tony Awards started in 1946, named for Antoinette Perry, who was a director, choreographer, amazing person, who passed away in 1945. And so they were like, let's just call it the Antoinette Perry Awards because she was cool. And then her nickname was Tony. And so they call it the Tony Award.
Tony Awards.
But here's the really fun fact from the back is that...
From the book.
The medallion, so it has the comedy and tragedy masks, and that's what the winners would get up until 67 or something like that.
Great.
Where they put it on the stand.
Oh. So
like
they used to just have a medallion.
They just had the medallion, but then they mounted it on the stand.
Oh.
And the stand was about 3.25 inches tall and about 1.5 pounds. But then in 2010, they built the stands being 5 inches tall and weighing 3.5 pounds because people on Broadway got jealous that the Academy Award and the Grammy weighed more than the Tony. And so when they lifted it up over their heads, it would like fly out of their hands because it was so light.
And they have such upper body strength, you know,
right?
To sing
exactly.
And to dance.
Well, now
so
that like the Broadway kids are like getting buff
right.
for like all these roles, they're like, oh man, I'm too strong for this award.
Oh God, soon it's gonna be the size of an actual Antoinette Perry.
Just carry around a person all night.
Yeah.
Jimmy, how was your week?
It was good. I bought the single greatest piece of invention my entire life. It has changed my life, which is just a beard trimmer. I bought a beard trimmer, and
look at you not being a little 14-year-old boy.
Right?
You're growing.
But here's the thing. Like, growing as in, like, having money to buy excess things instead of just using the same dull razor.
Right.
Because I will
I just steal mine from Equinox. That's why I pay.
We all don't have Equinox.
That's why I pay. It's so that I can get free razors.
Spend the $20 on an electric chair, okay? But I would like, I just grow these beards because I get bored and I don't like shaving. And then when it's time to shave, I just take a razor and just go to town
like Sweeney Todd style.
Right. For an hour, switch out just hacking at it, as if you would, like, a red oak tree, and you're hacking at it with a butter knife, just like, I'll get there eventually, you know. So I got the shaver.
Congrats.
I got the beard trimmer.
Congrats.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's...
I have a funny story from today.
Oh, okay.
So I am currently about to go on a vacation of sorts, just getting out of the city for a couple months. And so I was packing up all my stuff and getting it in suitcases. And so last night I kind of used the dregs of what was around.
The dregs.
to, you know, do my nightly routine. And so I took out my contacts and put them in. And then this morning, you know, take out my contact case, start putting my contact in my eyeball. And realized that I used the cleaning solution that has to be neutralized instead of my regular contact solution. And so my eye started burning with the fire of a thousand suns.
Yay!
And, you know, it was like bloodshot
and
crying. It was awful. And then I had to go, of course, to an audition today. And I'm wearing my glasses, which I don't like to wear when I sing. And so I get
because
in
because you vibrate so much. You have such vibrato.
Such
just
resonance.
Like,
ever since that nasal surgery, it's just real resonant.
Right there. It just shakes. Your glasses shake.
And so I go in and I have to, like, put my glasses down on the pianist's piano because couldn't sing with them on. And then I get to babysitting and the kids go, you look weird.
That's weird. Nothing is more cutting than a child. Nothing just hits you.
Oh. They also know when I go to an audition because I wear makeup. And so I, like, am, like, nicely dressed and wearing makeup. And they go, do you have an audition today?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the only reason that I'm dressed up, kids. Okay, we have to get into this. I don't know what we're doing talking about our week so much.
I love it.
So,
I mean, people needed to know about my beard trimmer, so.
It's true. It was very important. So, Jimmy, we have an amazing guest here today.
I'm so excited for this guest.
I am so excited. She has her own podcast.
She has her own podcast. Is that a first? Is this the first time?
No, Equity One.
Equity. How could I forget Equity? Equity One Boys, I love you so much.
Jimmy did that, not me. But she has her own podcast called Call and Response, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, of course, and then plug it at the end. She is social media at Playbill. By day, though, we have Felicia Fitzpatrick.
Yay!
Hey, guys.
You're like a superhero. You're like a mild-mannered social media manager by day, superhero podcast.
I like that.
By night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to think of a really good, like, superhero name.
Superhero name.
Maybe by the end of this.
We'll figure it out.
Speaking of wine, let's get into it so that we can be drinking and predicting.
Do you need me to open this for you?
Please do.
Because I'm such a good bottle of wine opener.
Uh-oh. That was nice. You should do that with the beard trimmers, too, where you just, like, run them in front of the microphone.
They have different tones. I'm going to start a barbershop quartet of beard trimmers.
Yes. So, listeners, as you heard, we are doing canned wine today because you know it is my favorite.
It is her favorite. Don't think. She's still good. She all right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we have a super special wine. This is actually literally a limited edition wine from House Wine. They do a lot of the canned wines. And today we are drinking some Rosé Bubbles to start with. So this is, like I said, it's from House Wine. It's Columbia Valley, Washington State, Syrah Grenache Blend. Yeah!
Yeah, shout out to Washington!
Woo!
Very apropos.
Oh, yeah. And it really is like a pretty down-to-earth, rosé, sparkling wine. But what's really cool is so the can is like pride-themed, so it has a really nice rainbow to it.
Beautiful.
And every $2 from a 24-case deal, which is basically what a lot of wine stores get, goes towards the human rights campaign.
Yes.
Which
there you
is
go.
Super awesome, and I'm all about that. House Wine sources their grapes from California and from Washington, and they try to be really innovative when it comes to how they make their wines. This is also brought to us from Bottle Rocket Wine and Spirits down on West 19th Street.
Okay.
They are awesome.
Is this a new one?
This is a new one. I was literally looking for some cans, and no one could give me stuff that I hadn't seen before.
Oh.
Including...
She fancy.
Including BTL. I mean, I love my BTL wine kids up there, but we don't have any new cans from last year, so had to try something new. Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, let's do it.
I just like rosé. It feels right.
It does. Let's go ahead...
We're getting into it already.
We're getting into it.
Smooth.
It's a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be. The bubbles are tiny.
The teeny tiny bubbles.
Teeny tiny.
Hi, I'm a bubble. Hi. Can I be your friend? I'm a bubble.
And it's really light bodied. Mm. A lot lighter than I thought. You don't get any of the yeasty character that we've been talking about for a lot of our sparklings.
It's fruity and fun, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little. It's not yeasty, but the finish is sour tart. Is it tart?
But just the right amount of tart.
Definitely. Yeah.
I really like this rosé.
It's
like a sweet tart.
I'm picky about rosé, I feel like.
Well, this has I think it has a lot more like strawberry characteristic than most rosés do.
Mm.
And it's pretty low in acid, it seems like. I mean, it has a medium acidity, but it comes off as pretty low, I think, especially for a sparkling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
I'm a
definitely
huge fan of
this. Citrusy flavors in there.
The only thing that I would say is I wish that they didn't, like, have wine plastered on the can itself, because I would just be down the street just for drinking this.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying
that I haven't done that. Because I have definitely been on the subway with a can of wine before.
Where it says house wine in the rainbow.
Yeah. No one cares.
You are my hero.
I will say that something on the can that I just saw is that it says carbonated wine.
Intrigued.
Okay. Yeah.
So this means that... So when you drink a sparkling wine, it's typically made in the traditional method, which means that it, like, ferments, and sometimes they do a double fermentation so that it gets the bottle – or it gets the bubbles in the bottle, and they don't, like, do it with CO2, which is what this is. Mm.
So what you're saying is I could crush up some strawberries and some grapes, ferment it, and then put it in my soda stream and just...
Yes.
And then make...
Actually, yes.
Oh!
That's kind of what they did here.
Love it.
Like seltzer wine?
Like a seltzer wine.
Kind of. Yeah. They basically added CO2 to this wine and then packaged it.
Quick sidebar. Have you ever had spiked seltzer?
No, but I feel like I should.
You should.
Oh, that's going to be like the summer drink.
It's going to be the summer drink.
Except for the Floridora.
Except for Floridora. And you know what? This house wine.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
I'm definitely here for it, too. Okay, so as we're sipping on this, let's talk predictions.
Let's talk predictions.
I'm nervous.
As I get out my notes.
Ugh.
Okay, well, let's start easy.
Okay.
Let's start easy. Best musical.
Is that the easiest or is that the hardest?
Question mark. I feel like it's the easiest.
Can we run down the...
So here we go. So the best musical nominees are Band's Visit, Frozen, Mean Girls, and SpongeBob.
I know I'm not supposed to breathe into this microphone, but everyone had to hear my sigh.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God. I cannot go first. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
I think it's, having not seen it, I think it's going to be the Band's Visit.
As having seen it, I think Band's Visit.
As have seeing it, I think it will as well.
Yeah.
But I also... I've been so impressed with SpongeBob and Mean Girls coming through.
Oh.
Like they're not nominations.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? And I know everyone's like, commercialism, but I really enjoyed both of those shows.
I did as well.
Yeah. Okay. There was something about... I came in to Mean Girls being like, this is going to be fun, and I'm going to have fun. And then I came away with, like, being a little moved.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and then with SpongeBob, I came in not having grown up on SpongeBob.
Okay.
Was not allowed to watch SpongeBob. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea what I was getting into. And I loved it.
Good.
And mostly I was impressed by how creative it was. Because for me, as somebody who has studied like script and score analysis, I was not impressed with the script and the score personally, but that's because I don't think that they functioned in the way that a typical musical theater script and score function. But I was super, super impressed with the direction and with the set design and with the costume design and just how when I came out of it, I, again, like I was moved and I was so impressed by performances.
For sure.
Like that is the show of special skills.
Yes. It's the best day ever.
It's just like, it's probably, I don't know if I'm allowed to have favorites. So, say this is Felicia, not Playful Social Media Manager, but
great.
I think it's my favorite show of the season. I love Tina Landau, which we'll get to the directors later, but I love Tina Landau's direction. I love David Zinn's design. Ethan Slater's like my Broadway crush right now.
Yes.
He's just so talented. And the whole ensemble, like the whole show is just, I guess I did grow up on SpongeBob a little bit, but I don't know. It just, it was like such a radical display of theater.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
And I love the choreography. Me and my roommates have like memorized some of it. I have to just like, I have to give love to SpongeBob.
Great. What about best play? So the nominees are The Children, Farinelli and the King, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Junk, and Latin History for Morons.
I think it's going to be The Band Says It.
Great. Good job.
awesome. Having never seen it, I think it's going to be The Band Says It.
Yep,
for sure. That's a lot.
I'll just go first because I'm a man, so, like, that feels right.
Oh, my God. No one's going to listen to this.
No one's going to listen. They're like, cut off. Well, I mean, if anyone else would like to go first.
I think Harry Potter.
I think Harry Potter, too.
Yeah,
I think Harry Potter.
Here's what, I mean, I think everything's good when people told me that it is a theatrical experience. Harry Potter is a theatrical experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So you, like, they say that everything's amazing. Like, the script, the performances, the special effects, you know.
Even the theming of the theater.
Yes.
Like,
cosine.
It is down to, they thought of everything.
It's a clown? It's down to clown?
It's down to clown.
All right, it's GTF.
DTFC. Okay, what about, here we go, musical revival.
This one's tricky to me.
So we have My Fair Lady, Once on This Island, and Carousel.
And I also get conflicted.
I know.
Because I was talking to someone about this the other day. A revival is like bringing a show and putting it in a modern, not a modern day context, but in the world of 2018. Like, have they really revamped the show, right? Is that how you understand a revival?
No.
Okay, how do you describe?
I think a revival is like, hey, we have fun doing this show. Here's this show. Do you remember this show? Let's do this show again. This show is fun, right? You'd like to see this show.
My context for doing a revival is there a reason for doing it today?
Okay.
I just like the show. The show's fun, right?
I mean,
why does anybody need to do On the Town? What did we need? What new did we need to say about it?
Precisely my point.
But I loved it. It's so much fun.
But like 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, I'm ready.
Okay.
I just, so if it's shows we like, do we like My Fair Lady and Carousel that much?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, I like My Fair Lady.
but I just mean in terms of themes, right?
Right.
Right.
Though I think that...
So what... No, keep going about... Sorry.
No,
keep going more onto what you feel as a... Like a revival should be.
So in terms of what's going to win, I really have no clue because I'm like the opposite of, I'm getting so political, and I don't know.
We also have to think about the Tony voters.
Right, and I was going to say, I feel like I'm the opposite of a Tony voter, because I assumed they were all, like, old straight white men, but that's probably not fair either.
It's not so true anymore. There are about 800 Tony voters.
And as an old straight white man, I'm just
happy to hear from you.
But I will say that a lot of them are from the American Theater Wing. Some of them, they do have the drama critics, I think, are also Tony voters. And then they have a group that are like directors and scenic designers and like performers, directors, designers who also make up Tony voters.
Which, and this is no tea, no shade towards ultra white men. Like, they could totally appreciate different types of shows. But when I think of, like, Carousel and My Fair Lady, they just feel very stagnant in terms of, like, oh, we want to do this show again.
Right.
I think once on this island.
I love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and as a production, my God. Like, what Michael Arden did with that was amazing. But I just feel like that is a topic of, like, colorism and just honestly seeing people of color on the stage, like, is something we as a society are into in 2018.
Yeah, what a great... white people directed by a white man.
I mean, touche.
I think it really says something when...
You know what? You're not wrong.
Though, all kidding aside, I also think that Once on This Island is going to... Okay, so...
Well, I actually don't think it's going to.
Oh.
But I think that it was my favorite of the three.
Okay.
But I think that I'm going to have to put my vote in for My Fair Lady.
Like, and like, love you, Chris. Love friend of the pod, Chris. You know.
Oh, love Chris. I mean,
yeah. Love you.
Yeah, Chris, I love you more, because that's why
your show.
Once
on the last. I think that, okay, putting up a revival is just, like, for fun, like, let's also, like, maybe preserve these shows, you know,
yeah,
keep them going so they're still in the zeitgeist. But winning for a revival, I believe what you two are, like, it has to say something, and it has to be a part of the national dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
It has to be super cool, and it has to have, and Mama Will Provide has to crush, which it does.
I mean, it does. It does.
But I think, too, like, Carousel and My Fair Lady do speak to some, like, national dialogue we're having in terms of, like, Me Too.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're, like, digging into it enough for me.
I think that, for me, My Fair Lady got there more than Carousel did.
Okay.
Which is just the nature of Carousel itself. But I also, I think that Lincoln Center went into it with it on their brains a little bit more. I mean, I will never forget, there was a New York Times article that was saying, like, do we have to have My Fair Lady and Carousel on Broadway right now in this Me Too movement? And I will just never forget them being like, and their producers are not letting Miss Mueller comment.
Oh.
And that, like, that, I literally cringed and was like, this is not good.
Yeah.
This is the exact point that we're trying to make.
Right.
So
Friends, moms, we are going to get deep.
We're going to get deep
show,
tonight.
All right.
Best revival of a play.
Could you go over to the...
Yeah, nominees are... I feel like I should be on the Tonys.
Ooh, that nice voice.
Angels in America.
Ooh.
Edward Albee's Three Tall Women. Eugene O'Neill's The Iceman Cometh. Lobby Hero. And Travesties. This was my audition.
That was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I say Angels in America.
I say Angels in America.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Okay,
Shout out to Tony Kushner.
Yeah.
Done with that one.
Well, because we took 20 hours talking about best revival of a play.
Right.
And not even that, just what constitutes a revival.
But, right? I mean, not that we have to get too deep about this, but like I feel like Angels in America does kind of the same thing. Like,
yeah.
There's no national dialogue.
Yep.
Cheers to myself.
So best actor in a leading role in a play. So Andrew Garfield in Angels, Tom Hollander, Travesties, Jamie Parker, Harry Potter, Mark Rylance, Farinelli, Denzel Washington.
Andrew?
That's what I'm thinking.
It's going to be Andrew.
Yeah. That's what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah.
Intense contenders, though.
Yeah. I mean, when you're up against Mark Rylance, like...
Mm-hmm. He was in Dunkirk. Okay. He was in a Christopher Nolan movie.
There you go.
He was.
All right.
Good memory.
Hi. I'm in a movie.
I know.
He was also the BFG. You can't go up against the BFG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that movie.
It's such a good movie. Directed by Steven Spielberg.
That is true.
I wish that he was in Angels in America when Spider-Man was also in, because
then you would have had
would have been there.
Okay.
All right.
Your target audience.
The band's visit. I think it's the band's visit.
Okay, best performance by an actress in a leading role in a play. So we have Glenda Jackson in Three Tall Women. Is it Condola or...
Condola.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I always hit the D too hard. Condola Rashad in St. Joan. Lauren Ridloff in Children of Lesser God, and Amy Schumer in Meteor Shower.
Ooh.
I think Glenda Jackson's going to get it.
I think she will, too. Yeah. I don't think there's any content. Well, yeah. I mean, Lauren, they're all fantastic, but I heard that Lauren's performance was really incredible.
I think this might be the only time that I will ever be able to tell this story.
Do it.
When I saw Meteor Shower.
I did not see it.
I loved it.
Did
I
you?
Loved it. I loved it. Okay. I loved it. That's my humor. I think Steve Martin as a playwright can do no wrong.
Yes.
Casa de la Pina Gil is one of my favorite, if not my favorite play. Okay. It's set in like the 20s and in France, and it's what happens like this made up date in which Picasso and Einstein meet, and they talk about art and science and how art and science are intrinsically ostensibly the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
cool.
So cool. But that's not the story. The story is watching Meteor Shower, and then Amy Schumer is doing great work, and she's also, like, having this moment with her husband in the show, and she's sort of, like, setting up the rest of the show, and she has this, like, very deep, long monologue, and she's talking, and she just turns to somebody in the front row, and she says, maybe not eat peanut M&Ms in the front row. And that was the best night of theater of my entire life.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Turn me up.
Okay, so let's do best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical. So we have Harry Haddon Patton in My Fair Lady, Joshua Henry in Carousel, Tony Shalhoub in The Band's Visit, Ethan Slater in SpongeBob.
Okay. I think it's going to go to Joshua Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ethan Slater's a strong contender.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, in my mind, it's like, oh, Ethan made his Broadway debut with this role. He, quote, has time. Mm-hmm. Joshua Henry has, quote, paid his dues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
Which it happened. I agree with you on that.
I am going to say Tony Shalhoub.
Because
we need a little dissent.
I honestly, if I didn't predict him, I would feel, like, bad from... He is, like, my idol. I have watched every episode of Monk so many times. Galaxy Quest so many times. Mm-hmm. I saw him when he did that show at Lincoln Center, Act One. Saw him in that. Saw him at Band's Visit. Like,
yes.
I'm a fan. So I feel like okay. I need to put him there.
Has he won one?
Tony?
He's won one.
Nominated.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could be another, like, pay your dues.
Right. That's true.
I don't... Speaking of, we can talk about this later, paying your dues, but...
What?
If you're looking into it, Kelly O'Hara? Yeah,
just
nominated. I'm familiar with her.
This is his fourth nomination.
Fourth
nomination.
But it has not won.
So maybe it's time.
Maybe it's... Okay.
And have those been for plays? Because it was two, right?
Yeah, three plays. So it was Conversations... With my, it just says Conversations with My, in 1992. I can't get it to tell me what else.
You saw me on the playbill Vault and not IBT.
No, I'm literally on Wikipedia right now.
Okay.
Not even Wikipedia, like yeah, Google.
I mean,
Golden Boy in 2013 and then Act One in 2014.
Okay. Okay, so maybe... Wow, maybe yeah. Tony Shalhoub's going to come through.
Maybe he will. So, best performance by an actor or an actress in a leading role in a musical. So we have Lauren Ambrose in My Fair Lady, Hayley Kilgore in Once on This Island, LaShawn's in Summer, Katrina Lenk in Band's Visit, Taylor Lautermann in Mean Girls, and Jesse Mueller in Rodgers and Hammerstein. Carousel. Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. Sorry.
What are they going to come out with Rodgers and Hammerstein? I want to see that
the
musical.
R&H. I think it'll be Katrina.
Me too.
Oh. What about? I think it's going to be, Haley.
It would be amazing if it was.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to the, like, she's so young. She just graduated college.
She did? Oh, yeah. Screw Haley.
She's like a baby. Yeah.
All right, never mind.
I mean, she's like...
Like, every time I look at her, I'm like, girl, you're so young.
You're a baby.
But you, dope on that stage.
But you belt so well.
I was just listening to the cast album today, and I'm like,
right.
What?
Waiting for life.
Exactly.
God.
All of it. It's too much.
It is. Best actor in a featured role in a play. So we have Anthony Boyle in Harry Potter, Michael Cera, Lobby Hero, Brian Terry Henry in Lobby Hero, Nathan Lane in Angels, and David Morse in Iceman Cometh.
Now, how many Tonys has Nathan Lane won?
Great.
Let me look it
up. He would be my go-to.
He's my go-to.
If if he's like won a bunch, then
like spread the wealth.
Right.
Well,
unless you're Audrey McDonald, like I think they spread the wealth.
So he has won two Tonys.
Okay.
96 for Funny Thing Happened, and then 2001 for Producers. But he's been nominated for Angel in America. He was nominated last year for The Front Page, in 2013 for The Nance, and then in 92 for Guys and Dolls.
The Front Page was only last year? Wow.
Yeah. That is wild.
Right?
Yeah. When how seasons fly.
Seriously, it feels like a decade ago.
Yeah.
But I do think it'll be Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Actress in a featured role in a play. So we have Susan Brown in Angels in America. Noma, I'm not even going to try that last name. Starts with a D.
I think it's Dumezweni.
Dumezweni?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dumezweni.
Yeah. I was not going to say that.
We ask your correction that Tannins and Tombs.
Harry Potter. Deborah Findlay in The Children. Denise Goh in Angels in America. And Laurie Metcalf in Three Tall Women.
Wait, who was... You said... What? Say the last two again?
Denise Goh in Angels in America, and then Laurie Metcalf in Three Tall Women.
I don't know. I think... Maybe Laurie Metcalf... Well, she just won last year.
Yeah. I think it'll be Denise.
Oh, she did, didn't she?
Yeah. Denise Goh.
Goh.
I think Goh. Goh. But anyway, yeah. I think Denise could be...
It is a category of hard to pronounce last names.
And that is not my strong point.
If Noma won, I would be into that. Like,
yeah.
She did a good job. But who won the Olivier? Not that that's a determiner, but I think Denise won.
I don't
won.
Know if...
Oh. What are determiners? And do they do a lot of, like...
The Olivier
hasn't...
No, it did.
Yeah, it was in April. I think.
Yeah. It's because Hamilton won everything. That's why I didn't pay attention.
Oh, gosh, I forgot that was this year over there. Yeah.
Let me check though.
But cause I feel like sometimes people say
Oh, it was Shirley Henderson for Girl from the North County.
Oh.
And then...
Why did I do Denise one? I don't know. Regardless, that's I think she could win.
So, like, in Oscars and Emmys, there's a lot of, like...
Oh, sorry, that was musical. I'm sorry. Let me...
There's a lot of push, and there's a lot of, like, money that goes behind, like, trying to get a win. They do a lot of, like, campaigning. Yeah. That's the word. Is there a lot of campaigning, do you know, going on? Do you get a lot of fruit baskets at Playbill?
You know what? We should get, like, some Schmackeries or some Insomnia Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Although none of us vote, so that's probably why we don't.
Oh, gotcha.
But, I mean, even still, you know, it is like we do our Instagram Lives, and people, we had Michael Arden today, we had Taylor Lauterman, we had Ethan Slater, or you'll see people, you know, doing their interviews with Vogue and try to, like, kind of spread their interviews across industries, I think, to kind of get their name across to all different types of consumers.
Right.
You know, because everyone who reads Playbills is all in air quotes listeners, but everyone that reads Playbill kind of knows these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think they also try to do, like, the Vogues, the...
Right.
I don't know what else, to get...
Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I am going to correct myself real quick before people write in and tell us I'm wrong. Laura Donnelly won for The Ferryman. She won the Olivier this year.
Very cool.
Okay, let's talk. Let's see. Best performance by an actor in a featured role in a musical. Norbert Leo Butts in My Fair Lady. Mm. Alexander Gimignani in Carousel. Gray Henson in Mean Girls. Gavin Lee in SpongeBob. And Ariel Stachel in Fans Visit.
This is an interesting category.
I think that this is going to be the, like, surprise category.
Mm-hmm.
This one's hard. I'm going with Norbert Leo Butts just because I think that he will win based on Tony voters.
Hmm. I liked his performance in My Fair Lady.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
Gavin Lee was Squidward, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Gavin Lee. Gavin Lee's going to win.
I think Gavin Lee.
Yeah.
I really do. That tap dancing.
It was great. It was great.
He has eight. He's tap dancing with eight tentacles.
I know. He's insane.
He transformed him. He literally grafted tentacles onto his body for this role. Those aren't fake. All right?
He went through surgery.
He is part octopus now. That's dedication. All right? Daniel Day-Lewis could take some tips.
Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a musical. Ariana DeBose.
Friend of the pod. Like, number one friend. Like,
number one friend.
Like,
pod.
Patient zero friend.
Yeah, that's true. She was on our, like, third episode.
Yeah.
Very cool.
For Donna Summer. Renee Fleming for Carousel. What are you doing in the
20s?
Sorry. Sorry, that was wine. Lindsay Mendez in Carousel. Mm. Ashley Park in Mean Girls. And Diana Rigg in My Fair Lady.
Oof.
This is a tough category, too.
I think I'm going to put my money on Lindsay Mendez or Ashley Park.
That's literally, I have down in my notes, Ashley Park or Lindsay Mendez.
Am I perfect?
That's so funny.
I fucking loved Ashley Park, yeah.
Right? Well, I think that, see, here's the thing. I think that people know Lindsay, like, people who are voting know Lindsay Mendez, but I think that because Ashley Park couldn't win a Tony for K-pop,
yes,
that they might give it to her for Mean Girls. Or,
and we'll pretend we're fine, though we both know one day there'll be blood on the floor. But which one will betray the other more? What's wrong with me?
I've heard people say that around these streets.
But I don't know if that's, like, thinking too much of these Tony voters.
Maybe.
Well, people were saying, like, her performance in King and I and K-pop, and now Mean Girls is kind of like a combined nomination / possible win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so what we were talking about revivals of, like, what does it mean to revive a show? People have been talking about nominating performances, and they were saying, like, I would nominate someone if I can't imagine anyone else in the role.
Yeah.
Or, like, originating that role. And I feel that way. I guess that's unfair to Lindsay since it's a revival, because I think she did a really, really great job with that role. But with Ashley, like, she made Gretchen her own.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, also what I think I love about... You're also talking about, like, things are too commercial or stuff like that. And I kind of love it when you take a movie and turn it into a musical, because you have more time to expand on the movie's themes and everything. And they definitely did that with Gretchen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. That's true. Right. That's true. And how she danced in those wedges, I will never understand. I'm like, girl, those dance moves, those athletic.
Right? Okay, last two things, and then we'll get more wine, and then we'll play
Thank
the game.
Thank you. All right.
So we're just going to do direction of a play and direction of a musical.
Okay.
So direction of the play, we have Marianne Elliott for Angels in America, Joe Mantello for Three Tall Women, Patrick Marber for Travesties, John Tiffany for Harry Potter, and George C. Wolfe for Iceman Cometh.
This is so, so rude and so mean. George C. Wolfe is still alive?
How dare How you? Dare honestly. You.
How dare you?
Listen.
I think that you're confusing him with someone else in your brain.
Am I?
I think
is that
you
the
are.
Third time I've said this?
I
feel like you.
Yeah. I feel like you've said that before.
George C. Wolfe is in the iconic cinematic masterpiece Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, I'm
that's
thinking,
helpful.
I've never seen Devil's Prada.
What? Who are you as an American?
Okay.
You have so much.
I know.
Okay, we'll
so welcome to Canons and Tunes, now with Jessica and Felicia. Wow, this hasn't happened in a while where I get usurped. I don't know this feeling. I don't like this feeling.
I really do think that you're, like, replacing George C. Wolfe in your brain with somebody else.
Okay, with, like, maybe an actual wolf who has, that's, like, very,
probably.
Like, small span of
because he,
life.
Yes.
Like 12 years?
Like 12 years.
I would want to see a wolf direct a musical.
While he is older, he's definitely not old.
Oh. And I thought he, like, was born in, like, 1892.
Nope, not him.
Who are you thinking of?
I don't know.
He did Shuffle Along.
Oh, okay.
He directed that.
And so many other...
Yeah, Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Fun.
Yeah, yeah. And he did a play...
Jessica, I need to come clean with you.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
I hate musicals.
I know.
I've never seen a musical.
You've never seen one.
Or plays.
Never seen one. Not even that one that we did together.
Not even that one that we did together. I didn't see it before we did it. But if this was like, wine and video games, there we go. No, I don't blame it.
You can do that for your next podcast. I think it's going to be John Tiffany for Harry Potter.
Okay. I can see that or Marianne Elliott.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah. Either or, I think just because they're pulling off those big spectacles is...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
Best Direction Musical, Michael Arden, Once on This Island, David Cromer, Band's Visit, Tina Landau, SpongeBob, Casey Nicholoff, Mean Girls, Fart Lisher, My Fair Lady.
Now, I got another question.
It's like the who's who.
I've got another question. I'm so sorry. Don't be mad at me. Isn't Michael Arden dead? Shouldn't he be dead already? Michael Arden should be right.
I think you need to go back to like
now. Bartlett Sher is like a young up and coming director, right? Bartlett Sher, like I've never heard that name before.
Jimmy, you should be watching my Road to the Tonys, my 10 Days of Tonys videos to like up your history knowledge.
All right.
I don't even have a comeback or anything to say to that. That was just really funny.
Namaste.
I am conflicted about this as I am with like the best musical. I don't know who is going to win, so I'm just gonna say my feelings via this rosé.
Yes.
Tina Landau. I'm here for a queer woman winning. Mm-hmm. I'm here for what she did with that show.
Right.
I also, despite him being a white man, love what Michael Arden did with Once on This Island.
I hear great things.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I want to.
And, you know, he did this CBS interview the other day that brought me to tears, where he was talking about how his grandparents adopted him when he was young and kind of his connection to the story. Because I get, and sorry, I don't mean to make this so deep again, but I always think about, you know, like white creative teams doing shows that are about people of color's experiences, like Scottsboro Boys. Like, I'm always like, what? Well, how did that happen? But I think as long as the creative team is, like, open to listening to the cast, they can make it work. Mm-hmm. I think this was one of those situations.
There's a single tear rolling down your cheek now.
I was and like, catching the light.
Presentation.
It really is such a good ensemble show, which is why I think that they should have the best ensemble, Tony.
Yes.
That's
I agree with
like
that.
A whole thing in and of itself.
I'm here for that.
And I think that if they did, that Once on the Side would win.
Oh, yeah.
Like, would win 100%.
They also have a goat, which I feel like would be of interest to you.
Right.
They have a goat?
A live goat.
You should follow them on Instagram because they do have, like, the goats of Once on the Side Instagram.
Marky the goat, I think.
Yeah.
I love this.
It's
my
so
hat
good.
Is
follow.
Backwards now, and I am into it.
You're into it.
Does anybody want me to shotgun this wine?
I think it'll be either Michael Arden or Bart Lischer.
Okay.
That feels about
Tony Bitters.
Right.
But also, like, Bartlett sure does magic on that
stage. I mean,
stage.
He does. He does, yeah.
I feel, it's been so long since I have seen My Fair Lady, but My Fair Lady feels so, like, personal and insular.
Right.
And he's making it epic, you know?
Very true. Very, very true. Let's drink some more wine.
Yay.
So that was fun. That was predictions.
Yeah, I'm, like, so bad at all of these predictions. Like, I thought...
I mean, I lost all of my things last year.
Yeah. I also thought... I mean, no tea, no shade to Come From Away, because I love that show. But before I saw it, I was like, it's going to close in a month. And now look at it. Thriving.
Right.
Which I'm happy about, Jen Colella, if you're listening.
Good.
I am obsessed with it. I mean, you can go back and listen to our Tans and Tonys from last year and me being, like, drunkenly obsessed with her. But I also think that if My Fair Lady does not win Best Revival, that they will have it win Best Director.
Oh, okay.
I think that it will be a situation that whatever does not win Revival will win Best Director, kind of like what happened with Come From Away last year.
I like when they do that.
I do, too.
Spread the wealth.
And Chris Ashley deserves to win a Tony because he's brilliant.
Ashley.
My old boss.
Are we talking about this wine now?
We're going to talk about that wine.
Can I open it?
Yeah. Yes. So this is the Brick and Mortar red wine. So it's a Cab Franc, Pinot Noir, and Chardonnay blend.
Ooh.
So that's weird.
What? Those are three different grapes.
They are three different grapes.
And one of them is white.
So it's from California.
One of them is a Michael Arden.
Please say he's from California. That would just make my life. From California, Sonoma Valley. Don't spill that wine.
Do we have paper towels?
Yeah, we do.
Well, I mean, thank goodness.
We don't have, well, you know. Yeah. You do.
We'll get it later. So basically what happened is Matt Iaconis, which is similar to Joe Iaconis, but it has an A in it, went and studied aeronautical engineering at UC Davis and played football. And then the only class that he could fit into his practice schedule was intro to winemaking.
No kidding.
Love it.
Right? And so then he really liked it. And so he went to Burgundy and like did some harvests around the world. And then he founded his own winemaking company in 2011. And so he sources single site grapes from Napa and Sonoma. And he does this really cool thing where he co-ferments Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which is normally used to make champagne, but he turns it into Vin Clair and Vin Ruby, so like white wine and red wine.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go. The more you know. So let's go ahead and smell this.
Oh.
Ooh.
You guys have the same reaction. That was
Well, I think for me, if I may I say, I think I love, because it's oaky, But it's
from a can.
It's from a can.
It does.
I was like, how did that oak get in there?
Right?
Oak, you shouldn't be in there. You're canned.
It's like smoky and nutty.
Yeah.
These are great descriptions. I'm like, it smells good.
I was just talking about, I've been on this podcast for a year now, and when I first started, I was just like, it smells red.
Exactly.
It smells red.
I'm at that level.
But there's also some, like, violets in there and some red currants.
Mm-hmm. There's some I was trying to think of, a violet musical joke, and I just couldn't come to me.
Yeah, that's okay.
You're like, you've had enough with your jokes tonight.
Too many.
You're
jokes.
Done after George C. Wolfe. You're cut off.
No more speaking. Let's go and taste this. Okay.
Yeah.
You said Cabernet's in it?
Yeah, Cab Franc.
I taste it.
Well, you can match this with anything that you would match a cab with. So, like, pizza, anything that's like pasta, chicken.
Yeah, I feel
I'm
that.
I'm so hungry now.
Right? I know. I know. Oh, thank you. Because I don't want to spill my wine. For a second, while we sip on this, before we get to our game, I want to talk about Tannins and Tonys.
Tannins and Tonys. It's the best night of the year.
It's the best night of the year. It's like the Dundies and like if Parks and Rec had an award show rolled into one.
Uh-huh. It's like if Drunk History had an award show.
It's true. Oh, wow. Yeah. So basically we will start the night off by, again, like going over our predictions and talking about what we think is going to happen that night.
And then we will shotgun a house wine
right.
each.
Basically then we start drinking, and then once the show is over, we will come back and talk about what happened.
Oh. So what we thought was fun, what we thought was surprising.
Seeing George C. Wolfe on the stage.
Right.
Oh my gosh. When that happens, there will be an Insta story of me filming Jimmy looking at George C. Wolfe and being like, oh yeah.
It's going to be like, there's a zombie attack. Everybody get out of that building. He's risen from the grave. Please cast me, George C. Wolfe.
I think that you might have shot yourself.
I probably shot. Probably with Michael Arden, too.
Right. So the rules are that, so if you want to play along with us, listeners, the rules are that you pick a musical or a play that is yours for the whole night.
And then you own it. And then any time that they get revenue back
you
in.
You get like a penny.
You get some money in, yeah. That's how it works. You're a producer on the show.
So you pick a play or a musical that's yours for the night, and whenever you hear the name of that play or musical, you take a drink.
Oh,
and
pretty easy.
Boy.
Welcome to Tannins and Tonys, Felicia. Welcome to Tannins and Tonys.
So,
this is real.
In addition to that, you toast the members of your group whenever there is a performance, because we want to say thank you to everyone who went out and did some work.
If I chose My Fair Lady, and they mentioned Friend of the Pod, Christopher Faison, I would toast.
Yes.
I would cheers.
Well, when they do their performance, whenever any performance happens, because we don't discriminate on whether it's your show or not, any performance happens, you toast and take a drink.
Oh, you toast to the members of the people that you're with
after
a performance and drink. Great.
And you take a drink. And then after each speech, if you're with a group, it's a lot easier. You go around and each person names another role that they've played or another show that winner has been in.
Oh.
So you get your little history in there as well as the drinking.
Ha-ha.
And it gets so much more fun the more you drink.
And then, who can't think of one drinks?
I mean, you can play that way. I'm being a little bit nice because...
I don't like it.
If you want to get broad-wasted, you can do that. Plus, here are some other, and this will be on our Instagram and Facebook, so you can see all the rules. But if you want to go crazy, here are some bonus sips. Take a drink anytime the word community is used. Drink if there is a Kevin Spacey joke.
Oh.
Drink after any shot of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah,
and drink during when anyone cries during their speech. Now, you have to finish your drink if Neil Patrick Harris or Hugh Jackman show up and sing.
There we go.
Or if anyone falls or there's a technical difficulty during the show.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to check in with y'all after the Tonys.
Right. Well, you'll get to hear us.
I cannot wait.
Here's what we're drinking. So if you want to play along with us, we are doing either a champagne or a sparkling wine in honor of Frozen and Harry Potter.
Uh-huh.
We're drinking a red wine in honor of Latin History for Morons, a white wine in honor of SpongeBob and the children, rosé in honor of Mean Girls and Farinelli and the King, and then a kosher wine in honor of the band's visit and junk.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Now, Oh, okay. I was going to say you don't have to pick these ones, but they're just normal ones.
Suggestions, yeah.
Yeah.
Suggestions for what you can pair. I mean, we will have specific ones that we'll be pairing. My favorite so far is that I found a wine that's called Chill, and it's a rosé, and it's done in the Netflix font.
Oh.
And that's totally Mean Girls
and Farinelli and the King. Totes Farinelli.
Right?
You know. Farinelli, guys, when Farinelli gets on Broadway HD, like, totes Broadway HD and Chill mm-hmm. with Farinelli. Why isn't that a thing in our community yet?
Oh.
Also,
it
everybody drink. I just said community. Do you want a Broadway HD and Chill? And it's not a sexual thing. It's so just, like, really, like sit down and watch the show and take notes. And
then do a podcast about it? Yes, that's my life. Thank you.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Bravo.
We went up.
We went up that time. Because it's new and different.
It's new and different. It's a new, different segment to the show. New, different theme song.
Okay, here's the game.
Oh, boy.
It's simple. It's so simple today. We are going to go between Felicia and Jimmy. Because I'm going to be looking at my notes.
Uh-huh.
Everybody names a best musical or best play until you can't think of one.
Oh,
and the first person out is a loser.
I'm
me.
Panicked.
No. I'm.
You can do it. You can do it.
Best musical or play winner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Felicia, you go first.
Well, what are we just name? What are
you just name a show? You just name a show until somebody's out.
Right? What's the category?
Best musical or best play?
Oh.
That's it. That's just the game.
Okay.
Go until somebody's out.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Yep.
Is it best revival or just best musical?
Best musical.
Damn. Hamilton.
Yep.
No, what happens if we guess and it's wrong?
Then you're out.
Oh, okay. Cool. Right. Then I was going to go to a play, but I'm not going to chance it. Kinky Boots?
Yep.
Damn it. Book of Mormon.
Yep.
Hairspray.
Yep.
I'm acting full on panicked right now.
This is insane. This is insane. Yeah, I don't feel good about this right now. I feel weird. I feel flushed. I'm just panicking. I'm just stalling for time right now. I don't remember what, like, time is a flat circle, and we're all just here and there. I'm even, like, going back. Like, is there anything that, like,
right,
one, like...
Keep going back.
Like... no. I can't do it.
Yes, you can.
Jinx.
Did the Sound of Music win?
Yes.
Yeah!
In 1960. It actually tied.
Yeah!
Oh.
With Fiorello, which I don't think anyone was going
to
guess.
I was going to guess that.
Do we even remember plays?
That well, I think once we exhaust our musical options, then we'll try plays.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. In the Heights.
Yes.
Damn, that was my show.
I love that show, too.
I love that show.
You do?
I love that show.
Look, this is not a competition. This is just two friends having a great time.
I think I, like, cry at every single song.
Right?
Every single song. And I'm like, I will stay at the Bodega and yet still have a full and rich life.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good. Yes, I will imagine what $96,000 I'll use. crying. It's a better one. What happened in like 2011 or 20.
You already guessed 2011.
Oh, yeah, Book of Mormon.
Oh, I thought that was 2010. Oh, yes, no, I might be going out on a limb here. Oh, yeah, no, I'm right. Once.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, 2012?
Yes, 2012, yeah.
Spring Awakening.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Damn it. This is great for the podcast listeners right now. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder?
Yes.
Aha! I was wondering, that was 2014, right?
Correct.
Because I was like, what? But there it is. Memphis.
Correct.
Damn it.
Wait, was that 2010?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that was 2010, wasn't it?
I'm trying to, like, map it out so we know what holes to fill. Okay.
I think that's it for me. Now that we've, like, exhausted all those.
You are still missing 2015.
That's what, yeah.
Oh.
If not, then I'm going to try to guess, and then I'll be out if I'm right. But you got
2015. What was I doing in 2015? What was I doing? I was crying a lot.
You were 15 years old.
I was 15 years old. I was crying a lot. I was in a loveless marriage, two kids who hated me. Dead end job. Then I found the power of dance, and it all just came. I left my child and kids back in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Screw Oklahoma.
No.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Really?
I thought it was. Well, I thought it was the first one to win.
Mm-mm.
What was the first musical to ever? Well, you can tell me later. But I thought that was the first.
Nope.
Are we sure?
Yes, because actually the Tony Awards hadn't started yet.
I should have.
Or
went
they didn't
higher.
Start giving.
Okay, so
musical. So best musical started. So I'll give that to you.
Okay.
The best musical did not start until 1949.
And when was Oklahoma?
Oh, man. Now they're going to kill me. I think it's 1943.
Oh, you know what? This reminds me.
Yeah, 1943.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Sorry, that's why I got my master.
This reminds me. I was just talking about my friend's about to go do Shakespeare, and he's doing As You Like It in, like the 60s, like, sort of, like, psyche trip, you know, psychedelic era. And I was like, that's super cool, and it's only with Shakespeare can you take it and then, like, revamp it into a new, like, time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't take Oklahoma and set it in, like, a sci-fi future dystopia.
I'm sure someone's tried.
I want that so
badly. I want that High School Musical.
Oh, that High School Musical version of Oklahoma.
That's, like, done in Toxic Avenger style.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will give you that, because if the Tony Awards had been around, it probably would have won.
Okay.
So you get to guess again.
Okay, I'm going to guess, just because it's been on Broadway forever, The Lion King?
Correct.
Yeah.
Fun Home.
Correct.
That was the one. Yeah.
2015.
That was the one, wasn't it?
So now you've guessed everything from 2017 to 2018.
Wait, sorry. You said 2017, 2018?
From 2007 to 2018.
Okay.
With the exception of 2009. Sorry, you haven't guessed 2009 yet.
Oh, gosh, I don't know that.
But just go for some famous shows.
That's tricky, though.
Yeah.
That's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. I'm going to go for another one, though.
Okay.
SP, South Pacific?
Yeah.
All right. Not even touching on these plays yet.
No. We've got to stay in our safe zone.
You can stay in the safe zone. That's fine.
I don't even remember the play.
The Producer.
Damn it.
Cool.
Good. That was a good one. That's a good one. I am blanking. I have, like, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Is that?
I'm not even dignifying the response. Try again.
2009. Like, what would that be? I don't remember.
Blank, blank, blank. Blankety blank. The King and I?
Yes.
Yeah.
1952.
All right.
Avenue Q.
Ooh, yes.
Yep.
I was wondering about the 2004 one. Yeah, I was thinking about that. My Fair Lady.
Yes, 57.
Yeah. Shit, okay. You said so quickly, I thought I was going to have some time.
See, that's how I get you. I thought I was going to get you with that Book of Mormon one right fast.
Yeah, right.
And that's what you've been doing to me this entire time. I've been saying, and you're like, this.
What about Rent?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hairspray?
That was already guessed.
Hairspray was already guessed?
Yes.
What did you guess Hairspray? Oh, I thought you
way
guessed...
in the beginning.
I thought you guessed Hair.
I didn't guess Hair, though.
No, I'm not going to guess Hair.
Okay.
I'm not going to guess Hair. But I will guess... Tommy? The Who's Tommy?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Who won?
Well, Felicia, if you can guess one more, you'll officially win.
Oh, my God.
Any show.
Didn't Contact win?
Yes, it did.
Okay, I always remember.
Yes,
that's a deep
cut. That's a deep cut.
But here we are.
Cheers. Cheers to the game.
Wow.
Good job, you guys.
That was stressful.
That was real stressful.
But what a fun game.
Got to stretch our minds.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go down the line and be like 2000.
Oh, no, because I don't think even I could do that. No, there's no
can
way.
Can you go through, can you, I'm sorry, can you open up that computer once again?
No.
And just, I was just going to say go through some plays that we.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to, like, make me do it.
Because
I've been looking at them.
Also, what was 2009?
Billy Elliot.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that. I don't
think. So some plays. So in the past couple years,
just, yeah, but like the most recent.
Last year was Oslo.
Oh yeah.
2016 was The Humans.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
2015 was Curious Incident.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
14 was All the Way.
I don't remember.
13
that.
Was Vanya, Masha, Sonya Spike.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Clever and Park, War
yep.
Horse, Red, Gone
gotcha,
to Carges,
gotcha, gotcha.
August, Osage County.
August.
Doubt, History Boys. Proof. Let's see. And also, well, Angels in America, both parts have won before.
Wow.
Lost in Yonkers, M. Butterfly, Fences, Torch Song Trilogy, Amadeus, Children of a Lesser God has won before,
oh,
Travesties, oh. Equus, Rosencrantz and Gilderson are dead in 1968.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. Let's see here. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Miracle Worker. Diary of Anne Frank. Crucible. Death of a Salesman.
Okay, so some titles are all familiar.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Great.
Felicia, tell us a little bit about your podcast.
It's not nearly as funny, and now I'm feeling bad. Not
no.
as much wine either.
That's what you can correct that one.
Right.
That's,
yeah, no, I think it's very much, it's about the intersection of blackness and performing art. So, like, the deepness happening during the Tony predictions probably stems from that. Because I'm very passionate about representation mm-hmm. and inclusion in the industry. And after I started working at Playbill, you know, it was kind of seeing I feel like we all say that Broadway's so white, and it is in certain regards, but there is a thriving community of color that's just not really being talked about
right.
across mm-hmm. the major outlets. And I mean, Playbill, we do our thing, but like, I think we could still do it more. And I was like, I'm going to just do it myself. On
great.
The side, as a side hustle, at night, as a superhero that I am. And
yes.
So,
you are a superhero.
No, it's just, it was, you know, I... I just selfishly like talking about like black performance art, and I studied it in college, and so part of it was like I kind of want to just get back into that mindset.
Yeah.
And I'd seen a performance of Alvin Ailey, and I was like, oh, you know what? Like that would be so cool to be able to interview them. And I thought about doing a blog, but then I was like, why don't I actually amplify their voices?
Yes.
And their messages, you know what I mean? So that's where the idea stemmed from. And
I love it.
I started it last summer, so it's been a bit of time now, but it's great. There's so many great stories out there.
Well, what I appreciate is that like one of the reasons that I started this podcast, and what I love about podcasts in general, is capturing stories that would never be told otherwise. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
And for really tackling that subject matter and capturing those stories so that everyone can be inspired. I mean, that's why we do it, right?
Yes.
So we can, like, share it with other people.
Yeah, I think... I know storytelling is like a buzzword now.
Right, I know.
I love it so much that I still use it. But I think anyone involved in performing arts loves to tell stories, you know, for some reason or another. So it's kind of taps into that.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And where can people follow you on social media? So they can download your podcast on iTunes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Give us the name again and where they can find it.
Okay, yes. Call and Response Podcast. So you can subscribe to it on iTunes, and then it has some cute social media. You would think being a social media manager I'd be more dedicated to it, but I am not. I think it's like when I'm probably off the clock. I'm
right.
You're like, I can't.
It's Call and Response NYC on Instagram and Facebook, and then Call Response NYC on Twitter, because I couldn't have enough characters for the and in there. So annoying. And then I'm Felicia Nicole 86 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me listening to Call and Response on iTunes. And they can also find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram. And then you can follow the show at Tannins and Tunes on Twitter and Instagram. Send us an email at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to rate and review. You, because we will pair your wine with a...
Your name with a wine.
Oh, my God.
These two cans.
We will pair your name with a wine. Well, because I was thinking of what our what we're donating towards this month.
And yes.
So, in solidarity with House Wine, we are going to spend the month of June donating towards the Human Rights Campaign.
Awesome.
Which is so much fun. So anytime that you leave a review on iTunes, this whole month we will donate $1 towards Human Rights Campaign.
Very cool.
Yeah, so go on, rate and review. It helps us so we can help other people.
It does have to be a little written review.
It does have, yes, it does have to be a written
review. Then we know that it's you.
Yeah, and we compare your username with a line. So
I know that sometimes it's just easy to just, like, five stars, whatever, boom.
Because you don't want to rate it anything less than 5 stars.
And how would you not? You don't even understand the technical things. But even if it's just like, this is fun, great.
Yeah, and you can do that on Stitcher as well.
I'm going to make, like, 10 accounts, so you guys are doing $10.
Yes, ooh. Do it.
And then you get 10 wines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I do my username, which was, like, I love Cabernet.
Yep.
I love Rosé.
Well, then you make it easier for Jessica.
That will make it a lot easier for me.
Love it.
You love Cabernet. I love Cabernet. I think, like, a nice shard.
Like a really oaky shard. Felicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for
having
me.
Oh, my goodness. One last final thing. What are you doing for the Tonys?
Yeah. Oh, I'll be working. I'll be on the red carpet doing some coverage. Yeah.
You'll be there.
Exciting work for sure. And then behind the scenes, like the press room, Instagram storying away. So follow Playbill.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely follow Playbill.
So definitely what you need to be doing on Tony Night is following Tannins and Tunes, because we're going to have so many fun Insta stories.
Yes.
And Playbill to see all of your
Instagram.
Yeah, she's going to be playing the game with us too.
My bottle of wine in the press room, like, guys,
just
don't worry
about it. Put up our picture of our rules.
Make all the Broadway people that you interview play the game.
I'm sure they would love that, honestly. They'd be like into it.
All right, done.
Hannah's and Tim's drinking game this year, you guys.
Yes,
forever.
Now here, Rachel, who wants to watch the Tony Awards this year? This guy wants to watch the Tony Awards this year. I love the tech.
More shaving.
I love